Hey, everyone. You're listening to Wireframe, a podcast about design, development, and disambiguation in our digital world. On this show, we take a transparent look into the best practices of our industry and explore new ways of approaching experiences sprinkled with a few spicy hot takes. If you want to learn more, visit wireframe.fm on the web for transcripts, show notes, and to listen to any of our other episodes. Or reach out to us on Twitter at WireframeFM. This podcast is brought to you by Design Systems House. And now here's your host, Donnie D'Amato.
Hey, good to see you. Thanks for coming. This is another episode of Wireframe, and today I'm going to be talking about handoffs. All right, so something a little bit different today because someone reached out to the Design Systems Slack channel looking for some feedback about the handoff process. And I DM'd that person and they sent me a whole bunch of questions that they said I could answer either in a Loom or even in a video call. But I said, what the heck? Let me just do it on a podcast because I think these are great questions. I did skim over the questions, so I have a general gist of what they're asking about, but I didn't actually read them in their entirety. So I'm going to be reading them out in this episode here, and I'm going to be basically giving you my answer off the dome. There's nothing here that I've prepared to answer these questions about, so everything that I'm going to be talking about is really just what's off the top of my head when it comes to the handoff process, which is what all these questions are about. All right, so let's get started. First question is, what does an ideal design handoff process look like from a development perspective? All right. So the ideal one, something that I would like to see if a designer was giving me some material for me to build, would be specifications that use design system pieces. So we're talking about the tokens that I'm supposed to be using to compose these things, all the different types of states that we considered. And that's not just hover and active. We're talking about things like empty state or first-time user experience stuff, all the different considerations that have been accounted for. That would be really good. Additionally, potentially some accessibility things. For example, what could be announced in the flow of this particular thing that I'm going to be building. I'm sure that the question is probably based on trying to build applications or products or features. Of course, I'm coming from a design system angle. But again, you know, trying to relate the thing that I'm about to build with existing pieces as much as possible is going to be the thing that I really want to see, because then we identify exactly the stuff that I do need to build, right? So we imagine that there's going to be a lot of these resources that are already in the system that are already identified in this handoff, in this design. And then that's going to be, you know, one unit of work that should be, of course, easier because it's all design system resources. And then there's an additional, of course, unit of work that may be novel or unique to this feature that may not be covered entirely by the design system. So knowing how much additional work that I'm going to need to do in order to build this particular feature up front is going to be really great, because the more that the system is not being used, the more that I will need to build more custom, and that's going to just take longer time, right? That's the beauty of design systems, is that there should be resources that you can use very quickly to then build experiences very quickly, right? So that's what I'd really like to see. That's the ideal state, is using all the system resources. All right, what are the most common pain points when receiving a design? Well, kind of just mentioned that, right? It's having a design that doesn't use the design system. Just plain and simple, right? Where you don't know where these numbers came from, where these colors came from, you know, being inconsiderate about other users, other brands that might be using this experience, you know, that kind of thing, where I've seen many times in design that folks are building a perfect experience, right? Or what they believe is the perfect visual, right? And not considering maybe even mobile, right? I mean, it sounds wild for 2024 where people aren't even considering mobile, but that does happen, right? I mean, especially in an art board with an infinite canvas, you would love to just, you know, put all these very interesting things on it. And people sometimes forget that you're really trying to be solving user problems. And with that, there ends up being a lot of conflicts because, you know, especially a user professional like myself, when I see something like that, I get upset, right? What is the purpose of me doing this work? I need to know, right? Why did we decide to do this direction when it isn't obvious to me that it's, you know, should be the right direction, right? It's just sometimes I feel that we're left out, right, from as developers, that we don't know the entire story about where this design came from. And I think designers would have a lot better time in the handoff process when you provide all of that data up front, right? Who did you talk to? You know, what users, what designers, what parts of the team did you talk to? I think all of that stuff, when it's missing, is hugely a pain point when that handoff, of course, comes in. I'm trying to think about maybe what other materials might be pain points. I mean, again, if you don't have the design system references in there, that's a huge pain. Any other pain points that I have? Yeah, I think it really just comes down to the communication, right? If there's a lack of communication between design and development, right? You don't know where this information came from or where this design is meant to go or what it's meant to solve, and you're kind of in the dark, and it's like the throw over the fence, and here you go, developer, good luck, Godspeed. That's not great, right? You want to have that collaborative experience to like work together. I'm reminded of Brad Frost and Dan Moll doing a talk at Clarity years ago, I believe, talking about the hot potato process, where they're basically going back and forth between design and development, trying to get, you know, ideas flowing to then, you know, make an experience that's going to work with, you know, a couple more cooks in the kitchen. I'm not talking about a lot of cooks here. We're just talking one designer, maybe one developer that, you know, work together. I think that's a really better handoff process. All right. The next question is, what do you wish designers understood better about the development side of the handoff process? Okay. So this comes along with a hot take, and the hot take that I actually have a blog post that's like sitting and marinating, and the title of the blog post is, I think it's Designers Should Code. So let me explain, and I'm not going to go into all of that into the blog post that may or may not show up. The general gist about this is that I believe that people who understand their medium in art or design do better than folks who don't. So what do I mean by that? If you are a painter, then you will be more effective at your craft if you understand how your paint is affected by the canvas and vice versa, right? How the canvas is affected by the paint and choosing the right paints for the right canvas and all of that kind of stuff, right? So all of your materials, understanding your materials. It's not a matter of you making your own canvas or making your own paint. It's a matter of knowing what materials to use and when, right? So the more that you know about your materials, the better you will be at what you do. Now, transferring that over to digital design as we know it today, the folks that know, the designers that know HTML and CSS will do better off, in my opinion, than folks who don't. And it shows, I think. I mean, we see this with UX engineers and design technologists and the like, right? Those are the folks that can really, you know, do both sides of this kind of craft of design and development, right? So the more designers that understand development, even in a small slice, I think that would be beneficial just overall, right? And that goes both ways, right? Developers should also understand design, right? They should understand user experience and how that feels. Sometimes I feel like that's not the case. I mean, look at Webpack for the developers out there. Webpack is such a disaster. I've avoided it for my entire career, and I'm very thankful for things like Vite out there that just suddenly work. And I use that in the background of Astro, and that's how I know about Vite. Yeah, I mean, I imagine there's lots of things that are meant to improve developer experience that just don't. You know, there's lots of different technologies that claim to be better in a particular aspect when they really are just more configuration and wild documentation. I mean, you know, I think about, you know, AWS or GitHub's documentation and how vast it is and just jarring it is to go around. And I could see that being a barrier for designers, just generally speaking, but it's a barrier for me too. You know, it's just, it's not fun. But anyway, I think designers understanding how to code, just how that operates, is going to be beneficial. My wife is a designer with a master's in design, and she knows a little bit of code. I don't think that was part of her curriculum, but she knows how to go into DevTools and change a couple of CSS properties. That's fine. She could write a couple of lines of HTML and understand, you know, how that renders on a page. So that's all I'm really asking for designers to do. Other things that I wish designers understood about the development side, well, I guess another hot take on this is that developers can do just about anything that you want them to do, okay? So if some developer tells you no, they're half telling the truth. And I say that because there are trade-offs with every decision that we make when it comes to development, right? Whether it comes to performance or, you know, resources that we have to even try to, you know, consider building something, depending on how complex it is, you know, so, and performance is actually one of the big things now I'm thinking about it, because like, you can imagine some designer asking for six different fonts to be loaded on the page because, you know, that's the style that they want, maybe old style movie poster with lots of different typography. And as you might know, the more fonts that you load on the page, the more requests that you have to make for different assets, and the heavier the page ends up being. You know, and granted, like, are there, you know, award-winning sites that are out there that have that loading screen to come up to then enter the site? Yes, that exists. But you may also know that every millisecond that Amazon takes to load is dollars off of their bottom line. So there is a balance, of course, between that engaging experience and one that is just meant to get the user to end at a goal, right? So there's a balance between there you have to always pay attention to. And I would hope that designers understand that that's what we're trying to balance, is that it's not that we don't want to do the work or cool work or amazing work, interesting stuff that could be coming out of this work. It is a matter of thinking about things systematically. That's what developers honestly do. We're thinking about scalability, how easy it is going to be able to maintain and update this change that could be happening here. So something to just pay attention to, though. Like, you know, we want to do the stuff that you're doing, but we want to do it in a way that's going to be maintainable over time. We do have to maintain this code after all, right? This is the stuff that the users are logging into, that are using on a regular basis, and we need to return to it to update it for whatever reason. It's not something that we can normally just ball up and throw out, right? We usually have to maintain this stuff. It's a little bit different from design, right? Where you'll just kind of create a new art bar and start fresh. Like, that's that's cool, but it's a lot more resource intensive on the code side. So probably something else that would be helpful. And I'm sure there's other things that would be really helpful too for designers, but those are the two things that are coming off the top of my head. How do you think about the handoff process overall? Do you think, for example, that development and design teams should aim for more of a design ops approach? Interesting. Okay. So first off, I want to talk about the word design ops. And I originally understood design ops as a person or team who would unblock design. Now, unblock design could mean a lot of different things, right? When I first learned about the term, I'll say 5 or 6 years ago, I understood it as, okay, you know, this designer who's supposed to be sitting, you know, in Figma as an example, they're going to have a lot of other things that they need to take care of throughout the day. For example, maybe they would be scheduling research studies. So they have to be interacting with lots of different people to get that stuff done. And maybe that design ops person would help in that way, right? Design ops, I've seen it more recently where that person is maintaining the design system and its libraries. So, you know, figuring out the best way to work with Figma and that kind of thing. So I've seen that as well. So I just want to kind of like mention that design ops could be kind of a multifaceted area, and it might depend on the team or organization about what design ops might mean, okay? But how do you think about the handoff process overall and aim for a design ops approach? Well, I guess that matters about how design ops would interface with the handoff. And I'm not sure how much they would be involved in the handoff. So traditionally, right? Traditionally, you would have a designer working on a particular design, particular feature, whatever that is, and that would be handed off to the development team. Just kind of like, you know, maybe there's a, you know, handoff meeting, right? They talk about, you know, what things are going to be changing, what things to pay attention to, what things are less important. But that goes right to developers. And I'm not entirely sure where the design ops in this question would kick in that way. If in the ideal approach, right, where they're handing off parts from the system, then maybe it does go through design ops, because maybe design ops is in a place where they're validating how systematic this design is. That's a possibility. But again, I'm not sure exactly where the design ops part of it comes into this question. The question, again, is just how do you think about the handoff process overall? I think it would be like, what do you think about the process overall? And as it is today, where I'm working with designers, I don't enjoy it, but I'm familiar enough with the expectations, especially as a trade UX engineer. I communicate much better with designers than I think many other engineers might. So I think I have a little bit of an upper hand there. But past that, I've seen many, many engineers show up in a support channel asking questions about design that don't follow the system. And that's, I think, the big problem that we have, right? If you're not following the system and you have to build things from scratch, there's going to be a lot of questions about how I might build something because it doesn't look like this is part of the system, or I don't know if it's part of the system. So that's been a big problem. All right, next question. How does a design system help facilitate the design handoff process? Well, I guess I've been talking about that the whole time, right? That handoff process, if we are identifying the pieces that are part of the system immediately, then it's much easier for the developer to grab those pieces from a library that hopefully exists and then start building these experiences and then identify exactly what parts of the experience they might need to build custom or otherwise, you know, dive in deeper about. Right, because the more that's already pre-built, the faster this thing comes out. Right, so I already kind of mentioned that. All right, the next thing is, when you're handed design files, do you ever get lost? In parentheses, in complex file systems, non-standardized terms, etc. Lost in design files, of course. Of course, you're lost in design files. I imagine, you know, with dev mode in Figma, someone who may be in a design ops role might have curated that file so that a developer can traverse it a lot easier. I remember seeing the demo of it in last June where they were demoing how you might mark certain artboards that are important to the developer so that when a developer goes into dev mode, that all they need to see is those particular screens that they'll be building, right? Where, and as a designer, you might have an artboard that's full of explorations and presentations and other resources that are just going to be all over the place, right? It's just kind of like a mess sometimes that might happen. And in order to organize it a little bit better, Figma is able to like mark out those things. But if it's disorganized, of course, you'll get lost. I mean, that's anywhere. I mean, we get lost in code all the time as well, right? You go into somebody else's repo and you're like, what does this even do? Right? How does this even work if it's not something that you're familiar with? So it's very common for that to happen, to get lost in a design file or even development in the file structure. I wonder a little bit, now I'm thinking about it, how we might attempt to solve for that, right? My gears are turning a little bit. I have to definitely think about that because I think there's a world where wayfinding in files that we are creating, like creative files, there might be something there, honestly. Yeah, I don't know, something to think about. On top of all the other things that I'm thinking about, you know, 12 at a time. Okay, the next thing here is, do you typically feel comfortable in the tools designers use? No, absolutely not. So fun fact, I'm invited most recently to a couple of the sneak previews for Figma's new releases. And I find that funny because I'm probably the only person on these calls that doesn't use their application. Now, when I say doesn't use the application, I mean, I do click links that go to Figma. I do traverse Figma files. But that's basically the extent of how I use Sigma, because I don't need to. I'm a UX engineer, right? So if I'm going to design something, I'm going to design it in like CodePen or just in code in general. There's no reason for me to go into a place that doesn't bring me a finished product out of it, right? Something that is actually going to work. So I find it to be like unnecessary for me to go into that application on a regular basis. I have in the past built Figma plugins, so I'm familiar with that ecosystem, but that's been a while now. I actually haven't been in it for a while. But past that, no, I mean, I'm not a person who's using those tools. And I think it's not important for a developer to use those tools. It's important for them to be able to traverse files, right? They need to be able to see the things that they're about to build, the specifications that they need to pay attention to build it properly. Like, that stuff's important, right? But think about, like, you know, an architect building something in CAD and then printing it out as a blueprint and then just handing off the blueprint, you know? Or even just showing a person the CAD model and having them, you know, walk through the CAD model, right? The person who's walking through the CAD model doesn't know or need to know how to use CAD in order to do that. They just need to know how to traverse to get a feeling of how this building and the structure is going to be built. So they don't need to know all the idiosyncrasies of how you might build in CAD. So, yeah, I don't feel comfortable, and that's fine. It's totally fine. It's totally okay to not be in those design ecosystems. And again, that goes all the way back to what I was talking about where, you know, the designer should code and developers should learn design, right? When I say that in terms of not knowing the tool inside and out, yeah, you should know how to traverse Figma. You should know how to be able to zoom in and zoom out, you know, be able to leave comments. Like, that's like fine. That's what you should be able to learn how to do. But trying to figure out, oh, I don't know, how to do auto layout, not important, honestly, for a developer, right? We're just going to put a flex box on the thing and call it a day. We could do that in two lines of code while you designers are messing around with settings, I guess. All right. Next one is, does the handoff process ever lead to antagonism between developers and designers? Absolutely. Absolutely. Goodness gracious. Yeah, of course. Right? This is not a dream world we're talking about here. Of course it does, right? For all those things that I talked about, you know, when we have designers that are not talking to developers, they're not bringing them in the conversation, not exposing all of the pre-work that was done to get up to this final decision, right? You know, as a designer, I feel like it's important for you to kind of validate your direction, right? Through data. Right, that's the whole thing that we're trying to do is solve user problems. So let's identify what the user problem is that we were solving and present that to your team, right? And say, hey, I went through all of these steps and this is what came out, right? And of course, the team, developers, PMs, all of these folks are going to put a lot more faith in this design if they see all of that work beforehand being done, right? As opposed to a design just coming out of nowhere, just like, ta-da, design, I made it. You go, well, okay, why? Right? Like, we don't know where this came from. Were you just bored? You just decided, oh, okay, this is suddenly yellow now? Like, where did this come from, right? The more that you provide in terms of the information, the less antagonism I think you'll find for developers. Additionally, I'll say it several thousand times in this episode, the more that you use the system, the better you will be, right? The less that you use the system, then the more snowflakes that appear in this design that are otherwise unidentified in the system, the more the developers are going to go, why couldn't we just use X thing out of the library, right? Oh, well, it's kind of like that, but it's different. Why? What is it different for, right? And it's entirely possible that the library isn't fully featured enough to support everything that might be done. But I imagine if you got a library of, let's say, 30 components that would be shared across all major design systems. If you got that core set, you probably can build any interface you want, more or less, for the most part, right? I mean, you're going to have certain special features that might not be covered by that kind of stuff. But again, the less that the designer uses the system, the more stress that the developers are going to have by trying to fill in those gaps, right? So, yeah, of course there's antagonism. Oh, my goodness gracious. You know, I could call out a dozen different things over the course of my career that I just was like, why can't we just make this easier? You know, keep it simple. I believe this is the last question. Does the typical handoff process feel efficient, or is it a pain point? All right. The answer is... there's a lot of answers here. All right. So I'm thinking about the current process that I use right now in my day job. And the current process that we have, more or less, is that I have a fairly good working relationship with the main designer on the design system team. And we have a regular one-on-one on Fridays, just before adult beverage time, where we spend about an hour talking about whatever. The whatever might be work-related. It might not be work-related. I remember he was talking about his sheep last week, which was cool. So, yeah. So, in these meetings, we may typically go over some sort of design that might be coming up and to, you know, share thoughts. Similarly, I might have some idea from the engineering side that I might want to collaborate with, and that's another place where we bring that stuff up. So, that usually goes well. From there, depending on whose initiative it is, if it's design's initiative, usually what happens is that the designer will go into a Figma, will start, you know, doing explorations or otherwise, you know, trying to figure stuff out. They will typically have meetings that bring more people in, so other designers and developers, to get more feedback. And then finally, there's like a handoff kind of thing that happens, and that ends up being a prioritization as a ticket through our PM that says, okay, this is a thing that we're going to put into the next sprint or prioritize just in general. And at that point, it begins a development process. And I'm going to pause at the development process for a moment, because if it's something that's dev-related that affects design, what I typically do and what we have been now pushing on the team is to write an RFC, or basically a doc that says, here's the plan on what we want to do. And when we write this plan, we are trying to describe either changes or updates that we want to make to the system. We attempt to provide visuals as necessary, as best as we can. Luckily, my design partner is familiar with the code. He's written a couple of small apps himself or websites, so putting code in there actually is not a problem. But then we write that doc, and then we shop that doc around the organization at large. We try to get as much feedback as possible in terms of what we might be changing, because it will affect everyone from a library standpoint. We want to make sure that it's going to be helpful to folks that are expecting it to be helpful and useful for, you know, the organization overall. So that'll go through some rounds of review and revisions, of course. Eventually, we will get that kind of merged as a doc, and then we will build to that. And that's when I talk about the development process, right? So there's a ticket that's, of course, made in both of those cases, and then developers will build these things out. And once the PR is done, usually there will be a screenshot of the changes in there. In some cases, especially more complicated ones, we will have some sort of small meeting that shows off like the storybook of all the different variations of this component and how it's meant to behave for design and development. And then it's public, and it's released and out in the world, and hopefully it helps people, and then that's how it works. Could it be better? Absolutely. Like I said in a couple of points earlier, is that, you know, identifying what the existing design system resources are in these new designs is going to be more helpful. Unfortunately, what does happen often is in our system today, we have novel concepts that end up being introduced that cause friction. That's just what happens? And we always ask from the developer side, is there stuff that can be reused here, right? I'm trying to think of one thing in particular. Oh, yes. So we're considering a new like onboarding experience, like a kind of like a coach mark thing, if you know the term. And one of the things I was asking is, well, we have this component that shows how many steps are in the process. And it seems like it's only in this one spot at the moment, but I was wondering if we expect the ability to show the number of steps for something in other areas. I can imagine like a wizard experience where you might have different steps that you need to go through as a customer to finally verify a final decision, right? So you go through like steps, and it's always good to know how many steps you're going to be sitting in, right? Because if it's only six steps, then okay, I could finish that, you know, in the sitting that I have right now. But if the thing is like, I don't know, 20 steps, so I'm like, hold on a second, I don't know if I have time to even start this process. I also recognize that, you know, if it's only being used in this one spot identified right now, you know, it's the whole, you know, once is an instance, right? Twice is a coincidence and third is a component, as I think Dan Wall says. I might be misquoting there. But yeah, if it's only the first instance, then yeah, okay, we'll build a custom for right now using pieces, of course, that we already have, you know, text and buttons and so on and so forth. And then if we find it needs to be componentized, then hopefully we'll identify that, make it so. But yeah, that's our current typical handoff process. Has room for improvement, and I think everyone's probably does, right? I think seeing what I've seen on different social media platforms and different discourse that I've had with folks in the community, handoff is a big sticking point that we all seem to share. And I know that, you know, Figma's trying to make things better in their ecosystem through trying to connect things like VS Code through the platform and such like that. Admittedly, I'm not entirely confident in that direction, but I think it's a valiant attempt, certainly. So anyway, I believe that was the last question. I'm going to just double check here. Yes, that was the last question. But you can let me know what you think. Just, you know, tweet at WireframeFM on Twitter. And yeah, let me know what you think about the handoff process. If it's working for you out there, if it's not working for you out there. I'm interested to know the results of this survey that's popping around over here. I do know the company that's trying to do this survey. I'm not going to name that company, but I'm looking forward to seeing what changes that company makes based on this information and the information that they're collecting. And I hope that things improve, honestly, just overall. I hope the collaboration between design and development improves over time. I believe that there's definitely still some confusion of roles, responsibilities, and things like that overall that make this a challenge. But hopefully it gets better, just overall, for the whole practice, for everyone in design, in development, everyone adjacent to these folks. I have some optimism, let's say. All right, folks. See you next time. Thanks. Later.
That wraps up the show for today. This has been another episode of Wireframe. If you liked this episode, please share it with your network. If you want to learn more, visit wireframe.fm on the web for transcripts, show notes, and to listen to any of our other episodes, or reach out to us on Twitter at wireframefm. This podcast is brought to you by Design Systems House. Thanks for listening, and until next time, stay clear.